The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, good evening, everyone. This is End Time Headlines, and we're just going to take just a moment to let everybody hop in here on the Facebook Live broadcast, and then we're going to share this with a couple locations so that we can get everybody to hop on here. So as you're coming on here tonight on Facebook Live, please let me know where you guys are joining us from. And again, if this is your first time joining us, we welcome you to the broadcast. Please let us know where you guys are joining us from. We appreciate hearing from our new viewers. Let us know, just say that this is our first, or this is my first time, or new to the broadcast or whatever, so that we can acknowledge that you are again new. And so we're almost ready, and then we're going to get started on this. And I believe you're gonna, if you'll hang around for about 20 minutes, I want to give you a word of encouragement that I believe it's going to be a blessing to you. This is a word that I got out of my devotional time a couple days ago, and I knew that this was a word I was going to want to share with some folks to be a word of encouragement. If you got your Bible, go to the Genesis chapter 3, and I kind of want to play around with something here out of Genesis 3 that's interesting to me, and then I'm going to show you that there's no coincidences in God's plan for your life. It's not that He doesn't know where you are. He knows where you're at, your circumstances, your valley, your mountain, your troubles, your circumstances, your predicament, your financial troubles. Come on, somebody, your marital troubles, the mountain that's before you, the sea that's in front of you, whatever your circumstances is. I want to assure you today that He knows exactly where you are. So let's get in this thing. It's interesting, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, when the serpent was there in the garden, obviously Satan had already fallen from heaven. He was there, and he embodied a serpent that I believed had feet. It walked and it talked based on, in Genesis chapter 3, the serpent spoke. And it was walking around. I believe it was able to, because your Bible says that when the curse came, his feet were removed and he went on his belly. But we know that he had a conversation with Eve. So again, here is this serpent that convinces the woman to eat from the tree in which the Lord said distinctively, do not eat from this tree. Don't touch the fruit. Don't eat it. And the day that you do, you shall surely die. So the serpent, this is Genesis 3:4, the serpent said to the woman, you know, he says, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like him, or be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. In other words, everything on the outside looked permissible. It looked edible. It looked like there was not going to be any circumstances to it. After all, it's going to make me wise. It's going to open my eyes. I'm going to be like God. I'm going to have infinite knowledge. I'm going to know good from evil. How could this be bad? But, you know, the old saying goes, you can look at an apple, but not all the times from the outside can you tell that there's a worm on the inside. So watch this. So she partakes of it. And here's what it says. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So here she gives to Adam. He partakes of it. He eats of it. And then the Bible says the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. It's interesting, they had been naked the whole time, but now suddenly they had a revelation that they were naked. And so they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings, and they became quickly ashamed of what they had done, because your Bible says in verse 8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day. Now this was nothing new. The Lord always walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the garden. This was a daily occurrence. God was with them. He had a relationship with them. Think about this, guys. He walked among them, talked among them. He fellowshipped among them. He walked among the cool of the garden day after day after day. But this day was different. They fell into sin. They became ashamed of what they did. They try to sew themselves fig leaves and cover up their sin. See, that's what we do. We try to cover up our sin, and then we try to hide from any exposure of the sin. So your Bible says, when they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now, here's where I want to home in. Listen what it says in verse 9. And then the Lord God called to Adam and says to Adam. Notice he didn't call to Eve, he called to Adam. Oh, I'm gonna tell you something that's going to make some of y'all mad, but it's the truth. Did you know that it really didn't matter what Eve did, but it mattered what Adam did? Because see, Adam was created in the image and the likeness of God, but Eve came from the rib of Adam. Now, I'm not saying that we're not all created in the image and the likeness of God, but I'm trying to tell you that biblically speaking, in an order, in biblical order, it didn't matter what Eve did, but it mattered what Adam did. And he didn't call out Adam and Eve, he called Adam out. Because he gave Adam the responsibility of taking his helpmate and replenishing the earth. He called Adam to the responsibility of tilling the ground. He called Adam to the responsibility of naming the animals and naming the creatures and naming this. He gave him the sole responsibility. So he put him in charge and he called him out. But here's what's interesting. He calls to Adam and says, "Where are you?" Now, have you ever thought about this question? This is God. This is Elohim. This is El Shaddai. This is Yahweh. This is the God who sees all the living on the earth. Every living sea creature, every living land creature, the birds of the air, the fowls of the air, the beasts of the field. He sees the good and the bad. He sees everything that creepeth on the earth. But yet he says, "Adam, where are you?" Can I tell you, this was not a literal question. It wasn't that God didn't know where Adam was. It was a rhetorical question, and he was asking Adam, "Where are you spiritually? What has happened to you? Where are you in your walk with God? Where are you in your relationship with me? Why are you hiding? Why are you ashamed?" And God knew immediately what had happened. Remember, he asked him, he said, "Did you partake of the tree and eat of the fruit in which I told you not to?" So I could really plow on that, and we could preach a whole message on that right there in that context. But I wanted to take the stem of this one scripture in verse 9, and I want to run with this today. And I want to ask you, where are you? And listen, where are you? I know this is a word of encouragement. If you'll hang on here for a minute. Sometimes in our walk with God, how many knows in our walk with God, it gets tough. It gets trying. There's trials. There's tribulations. There's heartaches. There's betrayal. There's letdowns. There's disappointments. There's discouragements. There's failures. Come on, somebody. All these things that we're met with continually. And many times what will happen is the enemy will get us to focus on our journey, focus on the mountain that we're trying to climb, focus on the valley that we're trying to get out of, the sickness that we're trying to get over, the marriage that we're trying to get reconciled, the ministry that we're trying to hold together by the seams, the family that we're trying to keep together, the prodigal son and daughter that we're trying to get back home. He will get us so focused on all these other things that we begin to lose perspective and understanding of what I'm about to reveal to you. And that is, listen to me, God knows where you are. He knows where you are right now. In fact, I want you to say that with me. Say, God knows where I am. Listen, I want to give you some scriptures today. This is not going to be a long message. This is just a devotional encouragement word. A devotional encouragement word. So all of you guys on podcast, YouTube, and Facebook, I pray that this is an encouraging word to you. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Listen to this. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Now, I'm going to elaborate a lot on these scriptures, okay? A man's heart, this is Proverbs 16, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. This is Proverbs 16. I forgot to put the verse in there, but it is in Proverbs chapter 16. But notice, a man's heart plans his way. In other words, every single day when you and I get up in the morning, we have our routine, we have our plan, we have our schedules, we've got to meet this standard, we got to meet this schedule, we got to meet this deadline, we got to meet this meeting, we got to punch the clock, we've got to go here, we got to go there. So we've made plans, but listen what it says, but the Lord directs our steps. I want you to stop and think about that for a second. So in other words, if He orders our steps, that means... Can I tell you, that means every traffic jam that you get caught in, that you get frustrated in, He's allowed you to get caught in that, and there's a purpose that He allowed it. That means when you forgot your wallet, He may have not caused you to forget that, but He permitted it. And sometimes you'll discover that when you're frustrated because you're stuck in the traffic and you're losing your temper because you have to be somewhere because you chose to leave too late and not early enough and you didn't take into consideration the traffic, so you're stuck in traffic or you're stuck in unperceived or uncontrollable situations like a traffic jam, that you, while you're sitting there steaming and about to lose your temper and lose your salvation, you get through all this and you get to the end up here at the beginning of the traffic jam and discover that there was a horrible car accident that you could have well been in it if it had not been that you may have been somehow delayed. Maybe you forgot your wallet, you left your keys behind, you forgot to bring that dessert that you were supposed to make for everybody at work, so you had to turn around your neighborhood and go back and you lost 10 minutes of time. But if you would have just kept on going, you would have probably been in the car accident and not would have been delayed. I'm trying to tell you, the Lord directs your steps. I know you got plans and you got places to be, but listen, if you're in Him, you're in a relationship with Him, you're praying, you're in fellowship with Him, and you're asking, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and you're asking Him to guide you and lead you day by day, friends, then there is no accidents in the plan of God. There's no coincidences. Let me give you another scripture that hinges right on this. Ready? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. One of my favorite scriptures. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In other words, don't try to figure everything out that God's doing or why He's doing it, why He's allowing it, why He didn't intervene, why hasn't it stopped yet, why hasn't it ended yet, when am I coming out of this thing is. He says, trust in Him with all your heart. Can I tell you what trust in Him with all your heart means? Where your treasure is there is where your heart is. That means when you trust in the Lord with all your heart, it means you're going to have to trust in Him with your finances. You're going to have to trust in Him with your marriage. You're going to have to trust Him with your ministry. You're going to have to trust Him with your children. You're going to have to trust Him with everything that you have. You've got to put it in His hands, put it at the altar, and put it at His feet and say, God, let thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as long as I remain in You, remain in prayer, remain faithful, remain committed, then I know that whatever happens, whatever the outcome, listen, here's what He says. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. Are you acknowledging Him in all your ways, or just some of your ways? Come on, do you have the secret compartments of your life and of your heart? Well, God, You can have all this but this. You can have all of me, but that one part of me. You can have it all, but you can't have my finances. You can have it all, but you can't have my pet sin. You can have everything, but don't make me get rid of my friends on the side. Don't make me get rid of my parties that I like to go on the weekends. Don't let me get rid of my drinking habit. Don't let me get rid of my fleshly habit. Don't let me get rid of this or get rid of that. But you can have everything else, but you can't have that. No, he says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. Listen what it says. And he shall direct your paths. Do you know how many times I have prayed for a situation or a predicament, a selling of a house, a opening of a door, favor, a breakthrough, whatever the case may be, and I have prayed and stood on this scripture, Lord, and this is what I prayed. I said, God, I don't understand how you're going to work it out. I don't understand how you're going to pull through on this one. I don't know how you're going to provide. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know how you're going to open the door. The odds are stacked against me. The doctor has said this. The banker has said that. It looks like this. The circumstances look like that. But I choose to trust in you with all of my heart and don't sit and waste all my time trying to figure out how you're going to do it or get me out of this or come through with this, but I choose to acknowledge you in all that I do, and I know based upon your promise that you are going to direct my path. That means that God's going to lead you to the right people at the right time. He's going to put you in the right predicament. He's going to give you the right job. Come on, somebody, at the right time, at the right place. You say, well, Brother Ricky, I've turned in 100 applications. I can't get one yes. I can't get a phone call. I can't get an interview. I can't get a maybe. Yes. You know why that is? It's because the angels of the Lord are sifting through. Come on, he's sifting through your application. He's sifting through these opportunities. And he see, come on, the Lord knows the beginning from the ending of that thing. He sees, come on, he sees part of that job that you've been desperate to try to get. He sees the beginning from the end. You only see from one perspective, but he sees the whole perspective. He sees that it's going to make you give up hours that you don't want to give up. You're going to have to be at work a whole lot longer than you want to be at work. You're going to miss out on your children, miss out on their games, miss out on your family time. You're going to have to miss out on going to church on Sundays. You're not going to get the raise that you think you're going to get. You're not going to get the pay that you think you are. It may have a nice bow tie on it. It may have a nice presentation with it. But I'm going to tell you something. God sees what's in the box. He sees what's behind the door. Come on, somebody. I know somebody out there is trying everything they can to try to get the attention of some guy. Come on, ladies. Come on, guys, you're trying to get the attention of some girl, and you think you're convincing yourself this is it. They're the perfect person. They're the right person. They're every person. They're the everything I pray for. And you may think that, and you see the outward. You may see limitations. You may see things that are only conceived by your temporal perception. But God sees the beginning from the end. He sees that person that you think that you know now is not going to be the same person it is going to be when you say I do on your marriage day when you get to the honeymoon. Come on, you thought you married one person, but you end up with somebody else on your honeymoon day. Is that not what God says? He says he will direct our path. So what does that mean? It means exactly what I'm telling you guys. Listen to Proverbs 20:24. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24. A man's and a woman's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? Now, think about that for a second. Our steps are of the Lord. When you said yes to God, you gave him permission to guide you, lead you, and direct you in every facet of your life. That means in the valleys. That means in the... Listen, it is not... this walk with God is not a walk of stipulations based on what makes you comfortable. Well, God, I'll follow you if I don't have to take up my cross and deny myself and follow after you. God, I'll follow you if I don't have to have persecution. I'll follow you if I won't have enemies. I'll follow you only if everybody likes me. Only if I'll be popular. Only if I'll have recognition. Only if I'll be rich. But if I'm going to have to go through tribulation or trials, are people abandoning me? Are people turning on me? Are people slandering me? Are people lying on me? Are people stabbing me in the back? Are people walking away from me? Or having a Judas that I have to deal with? Or having a Peter that's going to cuss me out and I can't find him when I need him because he's around another crowd and he's denying me from a distance? Or a Thomas that don't even believe in me? Come on, somebody. Then I don't want to follow you. No, that's not what the walk of the Lord is about. It's not with stipulations. Jesus looked at his disciples when they were at Caesarea Philippi, and he looked at them and he says, who do the people say that I am? And they said, oh, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Isaiah the prophet. And he said, okay, fine. Who do you say that I am? And Peter stands out and he says, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And what does your Bible say? Jesus looks at him and he says, Simon, he says, Peter, this has not been revealed to you by flesh and blood, but has been revealed to you by my Father, which is in heaven. And upon this rock, he says, and from here on out, you'll be known as Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he says, and then right after that, he says, now the Son of Man is about to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things to the hands of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law. He will be scourged. He will be ridiculed. He will be persecuted and he will be crucified. He tells that to them, and then he follows up with this. He says, if any man desires to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. Now, it's interesting how all that is in context. Why did Jesus say that? Because he was telling them, and he had to reiterate to them that, look, guys, when you said yes to me, it means all. It means you're going to go through the good, the bad, and the ugly, the ups, the downs, the mountains, the valleys, the light, the dark. Come on, people are going to love you and people are going to hate you. And if Jesus had a Judas among 12, what makes you think that you're not? If he had people that didn't believe in him unless they could touch the prints of his hands, what makes you think you're not going to have a doubting Thomas in your group and in your family and in your church? And if he had a Peter that loved him one minute and said, I'll never deny you and I'll be with you to the end. And then he turns around and when he's at the moment that he needed him the most, he couldn't find him and he was out, around a campfire denying that he even knew him. What makes you think that you and I are not going to have the same walk? He says, how can a man understand his own way? Stop. We got to stop trying to figure out how God is going to work everything of this stuff out. Listen, I don't know how he's going to work it out, but Romans 8:28 says that we know that all things, somebody say that with me. Say, all things work together for good. I want you to say this again. I know that all things work together for good. All things. Again, not just what we see temporal. Well, I don't see how anything good's going to come of this. Yeah, of course you don't, because you can't see the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. But this is where faith and trust comes in. Come on, you got to start praying the word. You got to start decreeing the word. You got to start standing on that word. Father, I'm just showing you an example again. I've prayed this many times. God, I don't understand why this has happened or why this is happening. I don't understand why you allowed this to happen, but I know this. I know that all things are working together for good to those who love you and that are called according to your purpose. I got news for you. If you have a heart beating in your chest, you have a pulse, and you have breath in your lungs, you have a purpose. And that tells me that God is working all things together for you, for good, not for evil. Jeremiah 29:11 says that his thoughts towards you and I are of peace, not evil, and to give us a future and to give us a hope. And an expected end. So when those voices rise up in your head, when the devil, when those demons whisper in your ear, and they'll even speak through people, and it'll be people that you love and people that you know and people that could be in your family. It could be coworkers. It could be people in your own ministry. It could be people in your church. It could be, come on. He that is dipping his hands in the bowl with me at the table will be the one who betrays me. I'm talking that close. Peter was telling the Lord one minute, I believe you're the Son of the living God. And then he turns right around and gets rebuked by Jesus, who calls him and says to him, get behind me, Satan. For you don't know the thoughts that you are saying. The thoughts that you have and the intents that you have are of Satan and not of God. This is what I'm trying to tell you. So when these thoughts come against your head, you're not going to make it. You're always going to be this way. You're always going to remain sick. You're always going to remain broke. You're always going to remain defeated. Everybody's going to leave you. Everybody's going to abandon you. Nobody cares about you. Your marriage is going to be destroyed. Your marriage is going to fall. It's going to fail. Your son's not coming back. Your daughter's not coming back. They've come too far. Your husband will never get out of that addiction. Your wife will never get out of that bondage. This. And all these lies, when they start coming against you, are you going to believe them? Or are you going to stand on the word and says, I know that that is not the thoughts of God. That is not peace. That is not God. That is not good. That is not edifying. That is not giving me a future. That is not giving me a hope. But the Lord says the thoughts that I think towards you, they're of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. So again, what voice are we heeding? What voice are we following? What voice are we giving power to? Come on, guys, we got to get back to the word and know this. And then last but not least, many of you have heard me preach on this before. I want to save the best scripture here for last. Psalms 37, 23 through 24, and then I'm going to close. The steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered by the Lord. Somebody say ordered. That word ordered means, it's a Hebrew word. It means to be set up. And I'm going to read this again from the Hebrew context and understanding of this. The steps of a righteous man or woman are set up by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And though he or she may fall, they shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds them with his hand. My goodness, what a powerful statement of truth. In other words, our steps have been ordered from day one. Your whole life has been set up. Listen, Satan tries to set you up and God tries to set you up. John 10:10, for the thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and destroy. Satan is trying to set you up for failure, set you up to be destroyed, set you up to fall. But God is setting you up for good, setting you up to prosper you, setting you up to exalt you, setting you up to promote you, setting you up to heal you, setting you up to deliver you, setting you up to get you the breakthrough, setting you up to get, come on, to get to the other side and get through what you're going through so you can get the victory in which God has promised for you. Hallelujah. Come on, do you agree with that today? Do you believe that today? Do you receive this word today? Come on, I want to pray for you today, right where you're at. Before we pray, real quick, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You guys on Facebook Live, you're going to see the link right there. You're going to see where it says follow and support. You can click on that link, and there's going to be a place where you can subscribe to our daily digest. There's going to be a place there that you can support this ministry. Listen, if this ministry is a continual source of information, revelation, blessing, exhortation, it just informs you, blesses you, encourages you, whatever the case may be, or all of it. We ask that you would pray about being a partner with our ministry. Listen, pray about being a partner. Pray about maybe you say, well, I don't, if you're not, you know, if God's not calling you to be a partner, maybe the Lord puts on your heart to sow a one-time gift or a one-time offering, whatever the case may be. We want to give you that opportunity. Again, all these, the messages are free. Everything's free, guys. We don't charge you for anything. We just ask that you be obedient to what the Holy Spirit speaks to you. As this ministry blesses you, we pray that you'd sow back into this ministry as to be a blessing back. And this is how we're able to operate continually as a ministry to do what we do. So we appreciate you guys on podcasts, on YouTube, and on Facebook. And now I want to pray a blessing over you if you're willing to receive this today. Father, I thank you today for those that are listening and watching this broadcast today. God, I thank you based upon the absolute of your word that, Lord, you are directing every man and woman that is listening to this broadcast, watching this broadcast today. God, you are directing their steps. You're ordering their steps. You're leading them. You're guiding them. And you said in your word that their steps are set up. They're ordered of you. God, I don't know their circumstance. I don't know their valley. I don't know their mountain. I don't know their debt. I don't know their marital issues. I don't know their health problems. I don't know what they may be going through or what they're in. But God, I do know this. Yea, though they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with them, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort them. You said, lo, I'll be with you even unto the end of the age. God, you're with them right where they're at. And God, I just pray, Lord, there's somebody that's watching this today or listening to this today. And Lord, they know by faith. They walk by faith and not by sight. They know by faith that you're there. They know that your Holy Spirit's with them. They know that you've not abandoned them. But God, they need some type of just a reassurance. Maybe it's a dream. Maybe it's a vision. Maybe it's a prophetic word that God, that somebody who directly knows them, a prophet in their life can raise up and speak to them directly through a dream, a vision, or just a word of knowledge. And Lord, I'm asking that you'd stir them up right where they're at, and that you would send that exhorting and edifying word of encouragement to them. Lord, you said you're in your word that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when hope comes, it's a wellspring of life. And it's like a flower that is withering and dead, but suddenly it springs back to life. And Lord, I'm asking for that kind of a word or that kind of confirmation to come somebody. Somebody is listening to this, and this is a confirming word to you. It's an exhorting word. It's an edifying word to you, and it's an equipping word to you. But you've been crying out and you've been praying for confirmation. You've been praying for some type of a sign to God. And I'm asking that the Lord would do that very thing for you today. I pray that he bring the blessing, that he bring the breakthrough, that he bring the good report, that he would turn it around in your health. He would turn it around in your marriage. He would turn it around in your ministry, that he would open a door, that he would bring that promotion, that he would bring that job opportunity, that he would bring you out of that desolation, bring you out of that habit, bring you out of that addiction. Father, I pray that, Father, according to your word, that as long as they trust you with all their heart and lean on into their own understanding, Lord, they're not called to try to figure you out. All they're called to do is put their trust and in all their ways acknowledge you, and you're going to direct them exactly where they need to be. It may not be in the time in which they believed it should have happened, or it may not be the way they thought that it was going to happen or how it was going to happen, but God, we know that all things are working together for the good of those who love you and that are called according to your purpose. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on, guys, you received that word today. I believe that you have. I believe that you've been encouraged by this word. Listen, we're going to sign off today. It is Tuesday. We're going to take off tomorrow, and we're going to be back on here Thursday, and we're going to do a prophetic viewpoint. It's going to be our top three, which we're going to go over our top three trending stories of the week. And we're going to pull out three trending stories. You don't want to miss that. If you enjoy those segments, be sure to tune in on Thursday as we cover again the top three trending stories of this week. And then again, Lord willing, we'll be back on Friday, and we're going to continue our series on awakenings and revivals and history's past. And we're going to give you some church history. We're going to give you some lessons and that we can learn from our church history and from some of these men and women of God that were used mightily in times past, what we can glean from them and use today to help us prayerfully and hopefully that we will be a generation that sees a third great and mighty awakening in our lifetime. Come on, in Jesus' name. So God bless you guys. Again, thank you for jumping on here today, and we'll see you Thursday.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.